Have you ever had your fasting insulin tested? No, not your fasting glucose, not your HbA1c, not these. Have you had your fasting insulin tested? You might think, oh yeah, probably. I just need to go look on my old lab work. But unless you have asked for it, there's probably like a 0.0001% chance that they actually tested it. So why should you care about insulin? Because a huge portion of our population is estimated to be insulin resistant. This number is over 50%, probably closer to 60, 70, 80% of our population has insulin resistance, yet doctors are not testing this. And a lot of times, if you ask your doctor to test your fasting insulin, they will refuse to test it. And in this episode, we learn why that is. We learn why fasting insulin is a critical number to help understand what's going on with your health and why doctors actually refuse to test this and what you can do to get around that fact so you can actually test it yourself. So we really want to dial in our fasting insulin. And if a doctor does test it, they might tell you that under 30, under 25 is fine, but this is far from fine. So we're going to learn the actual ranges that we want our fasting insulin to be at and so much more how to improve these numbers. My guest today, Dr. Alexandra Soa, has made a company that lets you test your fasting insulin at home. So we're going to learn all about this. I can't wait to dive into today's episode. I'm Dani Hamilton, and you're listening to the Unlock the Sugar Shackles podcast. Our blood sugar affects how we feel at every second of the day and also has huge impacts on our long-term health. In this show, I'll help you understand more about your blood sugar and give you practical tips to help you gain more energy, have better sleep, crush cravings, have clear skin, happy moods, burn fat, and so much more. This show is about taking action and taking your health destiny into your own hands. Are you ready to feel better? Let's do it. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Unlock the Sugar Shackles podcast. I'm so grateful that you are joining me again for another episode of this show. I absolutely love bringing these episodes to you every week. If you've noticed, they're every week now. I'm really trying to get these podcast episodes to you every week because I have so many great interviews. I'm sort of backed up, but I also want to get into more solo episodes and bring those back as well. So I'm trying to be more consistent with this. So thank you for your patience and thank you for coming back week after week, for rating the show, for providing comments and reviews. It really helps the show to grow. The show has been growing, which is amazing. So more and more people are listening. Thanks to you guys. You're sharing the show on your social. You're sharing it with family and friends. And that means so much to me. And it means so much to me that this information is resonating with you. It is helping you feel better. Because that is what I want. I want people to feel good and to know that their health is in their hands, that they have so much control over how they feel, to not outsource their information to a doctor. We're going to talk a lot about that in today's episode. So before we get started with today's show, I just wanted to share a little update on Blood Sugar Mastery. We just finished the launch for the 10th time. We have another incredible group of students. We've just started the program. I am absolutely obsessed with the community and the coaching calls in this program. I end up crying every single time. And everyone is just the energy in there is so elevated. People feel so seen and heard and validated with what their experience is, because I know a lot of us have been sort of jerked around or gone through the ringer with mainstream medicine, and we don't know where to turn. We feel hopeless. We feel like our bodies hate us, that they're rebelling on us, and that they're never going to get better. And I want to share that this doesn't have to be our reality, and that I want you to feel hopeful that you can change. And so that is part of the message and what I hope Blood Sugar Mastery is bringing my students. And it seems that already we have such an incredible group. I've had a chance to meet some of them already, and we're going to start coaching calls this week. And everyone's been diving into the modules, and I've been posting a lot about some of the content that we're going through And I'm going to do that week by week as we go through the program so people can learn a little bit more about what is all inside of Blood Sugar Mastery. So this week we're diving into module one, which is all about the blood sugar diet roadmap and how it's very individualized to help you know exactly what to sort of cut out next, what foods to be adding, what foods to be playing with, and where to progress your diet to. And I will tell you, the last stop in that is not a ketogenic diet. We use potentially keto as a healing therapeutic protocol. Not every single person goes through it, but that is never the last step on the journey because we don't want to stay in a prolonged ketogenic state forever. So a lot of people have that sort of hesitation. We also look at how to become nutrient seekers instead of calorie avoiders. We talk about labeling and these lies. I had someone in my program say today, oh my goodness, I just watched this module. How are they getting away with this? This is ridiculous. I'm infuriated that they can just lie like this on these labels. And it's really, really insightful. And I told her, I feel that same exact rage that you do right now. And I channeled that into doing what I'm doing now, getting this information out there, getting the words out there. So that is some of what we're learning in module one. Some other things are just about what foods contain which macronutrients, because I don't think a lot of people know that. Like, so if you look at nuts, for example, some people might think protein, but typically nuts are much more fat than they are protein, and some of them have higher carb contents. So just sort of getting in touch with what those are, the roles that fats, proteins, and carbohydrates play in our diet. This really helps us to understand what sort of foods we should be focusing on and what foods might make us feel really, really good. So that's about Blood Sugar Mastery. Honestly, no other updates from me since I work a lot and I'm trying to have a better work-life balance. We did go to St. Pete and just spend a week on the beach. That was right before launch, which was really refreshing. And we were just relaxing, getting some sunshine, getting some grounding in. It was really, really nice to get away. I met up with some friends and colleagues. So I met up with Temple, the ketogenic nutritionist, and Chris Urban, who is the ketologist. And we were supposed to also meet with Robin Switzer. We actually talked about it on the podcast. It was Robin's idea to all meet together. But unfortunately, Robin was under the weather, so she couldn't make it. But it was really nice to meet them in person, even though I had met them in person before, but just kind of connect in person and have that sense of community. It's so, so important. And after the launch, I spent the entire day on Saturday. I know that I need to decompress around these launches because it takes a lot of energy out of me and I work really late hours. And so I knew that I needed to rest and relax. And so I was like, I want a new TV series. I want to just binge the TV series and just not move. And my wife and I watched the show The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. It was so good. We watched the entire series in one day. Like, we didn't stop. We never pressed pause. We watched the entire thing. It was like, next episode, next episode. It was 10 hours long. So that is the type of recovery that I did after my launch. So if you ever have those days, you are in good company, because I certainly do. Not always. And my wife is the one who helps me to relax a little bit more, because I'm more of that doer. I'm always staying busy. If she's not around, I will just fill my time. And so it's been something that I've been trying to balance in my life. So watch The Lincoln Lawyer. It was fantastic. All right. So now let's talk about today's guest. Dr. Alexandra Soa is a dual board certified physician, that is a tongue twister, of internal medicine, specializing in metabolic health and clinical instructor of medicine at NYU Langone. Dr. Soa has served as a health expert for national media outlets and print publications like SiriusXM, CBS News, NPR, The New York Times, U.S. News and World Report, and more. In addition to her private practice in New York City, she is the founder of Sowell Health, a consumer metabolic health company. Sowell's health foundational product, the Weight Biology Kit, is the first at-home lab kit to test for insulin resistance and other metabolic factors that make up your weight biology. You can learn more about Dr. Soa at getsowell.com. And I link that in the show notes. And that is the sponsor of today's show is the Sowell At-Home Fasting Insulin Test. And you're going to learn why Sowell or Get Sowell is such an amazing tool because this is not something that doctors are testing for. And even if you ask them, they will flat out refuse to test your insulin. It is wild to me. I'm going to tell you, I do not have a doctor because I've had a lot of, my lowercase t trauma when it comes to sort of like, and I use this in quotes because it's not, you know, severe diagnosed, and I'm not trying to downplay someone else who has it, but almost a little PTSD from going to doctors and being sort of put through the ringer and feeling like I have no say and just them not knowing what to do and their outdated advice for me. And I just get a really bad feeling around doctors. So I'm a very much do it myself kind of person. So this is great for me because I have the test kit here at home and I can do my own fasting insulin test and I don't have to ask anyone. So it's amazing. I put the link in the show notes. I put my promo code, which is Danny10, D-A-N-I-10, and that will get you 10% off of the weight and biology kit. They're coming out with a PCOS one. We talk about it in the interview. So you'll definitely want to listen to the interview to hear all the markers that are tested and how wonderful of a tool this is and how important it is to know what your insulin levels are doing if you have any issues with blood sugar, because insulin can be on the rise for a really long time. And I'm not going to give away that number because she says it in the episode and I was mind blown, but insulin can be on the rise for a really long time before our blood sugar starts to go up. So if we're only looking at our blood sugar, we are missing a long time that we have to start working on this, to start reversing things before it gets too bad, right? And we know that we can reverse anywhere we are, but the less far along it is, the easier it is to reverse. So that's a lot of words. I'm excited to get into today's interview. Dr. Alexandra is such a wealth of knowledge. She talks about so many great topics. So we talk about her disillusionment with mainstream medicine, why nutrition needs to be the core of any health and weight loss plan, the number one marker that tells you so much about your health, the problems with mainstream medical system according to a doctor. So a lot of times you'll hear me say that, you know, all these issues that I have with doctors, and you kind of get to hear it on from the inside and sort of the bind that they are under, and some of the outdated dogma that she was taught in medical school. And it just makes you look at, oh my goodness, you know, we're going to these doctors for nutrition information and to help us with our health. And are they really the best people to see for these problems? And how doctors don't get education on how to interpret a fasting insulin test. We talk about why fasting insulin is so important, what insulin resistance actually is, where we got it wrong in traditional medicine, what are the ramifications and sort of side effects of having insulin resistance. And we also look at how PCOS, which I used to have, is a disease of mostly insulin resistance. We talk about the number of people with PCOS and who have insulin issues. And we talk about metformin and its benefits on insulin sensitivity. We talk about the traditional ranges of insulin. If you go to your doctor, they might say, oh, it's, you know, like we said, like 30, or it's under 30, it's fine. But what those ideal ranges are, so what ranges we want to look for, what the HOMA IR score is and why it's so important, and of course, strategies to start improving insulin sensitivity and the alarming number of people who have insulin resistance. So this episode is jam-packed with so much helpful information. You are going to love Dr. Alexandra. And remember, you can head to the show notes to get your own fasting insulin test. You can listen to the episode first and you're going to be like, oh my goodness, I need this test right away. So click the link in the show notes, getsowell.com, and the code Danny10, D-A-N-I-10, will get you 10% off your order. So let's listen to the episode. All right, I am here with Dr. Alexandra Soa. Welcome to the show. So happy to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I am so glad that we connected because you are doing such amazing things in the world. And I can't wait to talk about the product and the company that you have launched. And before we get into that, what kind of led you to this world of obesity and metabolic health in your journey as a doctor? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, so I think I've always had a distinct interest in preventive health without ever realizing what it was. It goes way back. I actually was like a 16-year-old student, and I went to this like scholar high school summit, and Dr. Pamela Peek was speaking, and she's very active in this community, and she was so thrilling to me. She was talking about how you could prevent disease. And my dad's a doctor, and I come from this world, and I thought, I've never heard of anyone talking about this. This is so cool. Like, okay, like, yeah, we focus on all of the end stage diseases. And so even as a 16-year-old, I was like, this is so exciting, but I didn't know what I would do with it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went to college, and I studied actually all the things. I wasn't even just like a singular pre-med, and I always liked thinking outside the box. And I got my master's degree in theater, if you can believe it. That's like a secret thing that no one knows. Now your podcast listeners know. Because I always liked being really creative, you know? And I think that's actually stuck with me as I've transitioned from more of a traditional medical space. But ultimately, I decided I really liked interacting with patients and people and helping them. And so I went to Johns Hopkins undergrad, and then I went to NYU for medical school. And I wanted to kind of treat all the things. So I went into internal medicine and I stayed at NYU for my training. But I got pretty disillusioned really fast in my residency because so much of what we were learning to manage was disease treatment. And especially in internal medicine, you end up kind of managing the whole person for everything from hypertension to type 2 diabetes, joint problems, aging, like memory loss. You would see all of it. And we would just be kind of learning about drugs to manage things and how to treat the disease once it arrived. And I had a really hard time with that. I really did because it felt wrong, but I didn't know what to do about it. And especially food and nutrition and weight management, because you would learn the root cause of so many of these diseases was excess weight. And then I would see patients in clinic and all we learned was eat less, exercise more. And you're like, how are you telling this to someone who doesn't have any more time in their space or money to go to a gym? Like, that doesn't really seem like it's going to work. And then nutrition counseling wise, here's a handout or like a government website. And I also knew enough at that point where I was like, I don't think this is going to translate. Like, and you would just feel badly because you'd see them again in 6 months and nothing had changed except their diseases had gotten worse and maybe you had to add on another medication. So I started searching for ways that I could help the root cause. And I was so lucky to have found when I was in residency, this emerging field of obesity and metabolic health medicine. And I was just incredibly fortunate to have some great mentors in the space, Lou Aroney at Cornell, Eric Westman at Duke, who started, yes.
Oh, okay. I know him. Yeah.
So they're so generous with their brains and really try to bring more doctors and practitioners into the fold. And so in about my second year of training, once I found the field, I was like, I'm not doing anything else. Like, forget about it. I'm graduating residency and I'm pursuing this. And so after residency, I sought out additional training and became board certified in the field of obesity and metabolic health medicine and really became obsessed. I started to incorporate it into my traditional primary care outpatient medicine practice. But what I was finding was that the traditional medical space really only allows time and room for medication management. And there's no time for lifestyle and nutrition management. And so then I became disillusioned again. So that, oh gosh, this isn't what I want to do. I always tell people that as a doctor, I have lots of tools in my toolbox, and one of them is medications. And I do speak highly of them when they're the right fit, but they have to be combined with lifestyle. So again, I found myself being like, let me tell you about a medication. And then here's like maybe a printout of what I think you should do, but I don't have time to see you back until 6 months from now. Good luck. And you'd be like, this is devastating. And then what was worse than that, and stop me at any point because the story is long. But
no, I love it.
What I found was that I would try to bring in traditional resources to help me augment what I had been learning about, really like how to personalize nutrition plans. And especially when I would match things up with labs, going lower carb, doing things like fasting, even 10 years ago, I would say, look, we don't, my boss won't even let me see you again. You know, your insurance company won't let me see you for 3 months or 6 months again. So I'm going to refer you out to a nutritionist. And then I would be like, it would be so devastating, because then they'd go to a nutritionist and get sometimes very outdated advice, because that was traditionally what was taught, right? So for my type 2 diabetics, they would get these crazy carb recommendations, and they'd come back only having gained more weight, with their hemoglobin A1C getting worse. And I was like, what am I going to do? So I started my own practice. And I built it exactly how I knew that care should be delivered, which was, you need a lot of touch points, and you need to make nutrition and lifestyle at the core of any program, even if it's medically guided, and even if you're including medications. And you need to know how to prescribe the right sort of diet. And it's not even a diet for weight loss, but just a way of eating. You need to know how to you need to have space for it, and you need to have accountability, and you need to have, you know, coaching around it. And so that's why I love connecting people like you who've also kind of figured this out. And this is how you deliver care, right? It's just high touch and high quality, and really behavior change is at the core. But not just like, I'm going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to show you how to do it and support you throughout the process. Mm-hmm. So that's what I ended up doing. And that is really what has led me now to having launched a direct-to-consumer metabolic health lab testing company. So people can test their own labs at home, and specifically fasting insulin, which I found in my private practice to be the number one marker of how to kind of create these personalized plans that actually worked for people, and how to really uncover and get to the root cause of disease. So there's my story, my whole life. What else do you want to know?
I love it. So in traditional medicine, and unfortunately, I feel like I'm not a doctor. I'm just a nutritional therapist. And I see my clients who have been to so many doctors, and they have either been gaslighted, where it's like, oh no, that, you know, your blood sugar is 99. You can't be having blood sugar symptoms right now. You can't be hypoglycemic because your blood sugar is 99. So you must be anxious. So we're going to give you a psych referral. You need to take anxiety medications. Even just the experience of my doctor, I said, I can't lose weight no matter what I do. I think I have PCOS. And his response to me was, you have PCOS, you have to lose weight, you have to take the pill, and there's no cure. These doctors are giving so many doctors a bad rap, but also It's just, to me, it's not bad people, it's bad training. So like, just like you were saying, in medical school, it's like this managing of disease. And that's what people are so used to. It's like, I go to the doctor to get a medication. And so they think that when they have a lifestyle condition, like I had PCOS, or someone who has an autoimmune disease, or someone who has, you know, prediabetes, they're going to their doctor because that's who they associate with health. But these doctors are only their only tool, most doctors' only tool in their toolbox, which I say all the time. That's funny that you use the same illusion, like metaphor, is that they have their only tool is a prescription pad. And Is that accurate? Like, what are you taught about like nutrition and lifestyle besides the like eat less, move more?
So it's changing, okay, but slowly.
Yeah.
I would say that the problem is the whole system, right? And so, yes, it's what we're taught, but then it's also what we're allowed to do in 98% of practices, right? Where you have these 15-minute slots and insurance doesn't reimburse for any metabolic health management, obesity management, especially when it's coming from preventive space. Forget about it. If you code that your blood sugar is 99, well, then insurance is like, I don't care about that. It's so messed up. And so
it's maybe driven a lot by insurance and reimbursement. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so interesting.
Oh, of course. Wow. And a lot of doctors really want to know more about this and to provide more. And there is a movement now. A lot of doctors are leaving out of network, right? But that's not why any of us went into the field, because we want to be able to provide care to everyone. But it's just not valued in this current system. And so a lot of doctors will leave and go to a direct primary care model where they have more time to do this and kind of out of pocket and say, you know, let's look at this as something different than your traditional doctor's experience and let's place a value on it. But that's unfortunately, and I'm not really sure with this happened, because 100 years ago, medicine was a lot about prevention because we didn't have all of the tools to treat disease. And so you really had to work harder on it. And then with disease development, and everyone, I will, you know, yes, while there are a lot of doctors who will write off symptoms and will say you just need to go on the pill specifically for PCOS, which is just ridiculous. We can talk more about that. But yeah, it's not driven by, everyone's like, oh, it's driven by the drug makers. And maybe it is. But we don't benefit from it. And there's like a lot of misconception about doctors like get some sort of kickback from writing meds. I have never once gotten anything, not even a pen. right? That's not the motivator, but it is what we're taught, and it's something that we can do that is reimbursable for insurance purposes in the visit. Right. And so it's like you're doing something, but it's so broken. So know that doctors want to do more. But most of us, I had to seek it out, like really outside of the traditional operating system, you know, the traditional residency. And I just sought and sought and sought. And now with the explosion of social media and all these resources, it is a little bit easier to learn, I think, when you have a thirst for it. But it's definitely not being taught in the traditional system. And I think I even had a bias looking back now. You know, I prescribe low carb, ketogenic, intermittent fasting for my appropriate patients all the time. I was scared of it. I was taught that it was so dangerous. It would give you a heart attack, that you 100% like should go vegan if you had elevated, you know, apolipo-B and like, the, you know, advanced cholesterol panels, which vegan was the only way. Weight loss 100% had to do with calories, and it sticks with you too. And so if you're not seeking out these new models of information, that's just what you retained, you know, from medical school 20 years ago. And that's what you practice because there's no other time, you know?
Right.
So yeah. It's a really unfortunate system.
Yeah. And I thank you for sharing that, because I feel like I have a lot of anger directed at the system, but I don't know which parts of it. So that whole concept of like billing for insurance, like as a nutritional therapy practitioner, I don't diagnose or treat disease. And I have so much success with my clients because we don't need to treat disease. We don't need to talk about disease. We focus on the foundations of health. We look at digestion and nutrient density of foods and getting out inflammatory foods and blood sugar, of course, and looking and making sure we're getting the right nutrients and getting outside and movement. And that's what a human being needs to be healthy. So we just do that. And then we see things reversing and obviously preventing things from happening. So it's such a cool, like, I'm so happy to hear that there are some people starting to talk about this. And I think the system has to completely break before it changes. And I think that things are so driven by these like insurance reimbursements. I was just signing up for insurance today. I'm like, what a mess.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It is the worst. And that's really now why I have kind of launched this company, where it's like, I want to try to democratize what people know. Right. So, I created this kit, and I think we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I created this at-home testing kit. Oh, thanks for sharing it. Yeah, so we have two kits, the weight biology kit and the PCOS biology kit. And everything is, this at-home lab testing system is set up to look into your metabolic health. And it's a finger prick test, and you can do it at home, and you can order it without your doctor's oversight, get sent to you, and then you can get your results. And I want people to be able to democratize what we're starting to understand, you know, it really is at the root of prevention. But what I was finding in my private practice is that people would come to me with all these symptoms, and they bring me their labs from their doctor, and they would say, oh, but my doctor says it's in my head, like, or it's my something.
My labs are fine.
Yeah. My labs are fine. I would look at the same set of labs and I'd be like, no, I mean, you have metabolic syndrome, you have an underactive thyroid, you're vitamin deficient. And they would never, ever include insulin in it because doctors are not taught how to interpret it. They really, when I look back, I don't think it ever came up once in my training was fasting insulin. And so I would always add that one on. And then in 90% of the patients I saw, I was finding insulin resistance. And that just kind of explained all of their symptoms. And you would tell them that. And they'd be like, oh, thank goodness, it's not just me. I'm not imagining it. You know, it was so validating. And then you could transform their lives through all of the things that you know, we know to be true and all of the nutritional coaching and the lifestyle coaching. And it was just so transformative that I was like, I gotta make a way for people to be able to do this at home if they want to test it. Because, you know, even if I told my patients to go back to their doctor and order fasting insulin, they'd be like, no way. No way. I don't know how to interpret that. There's no value in it. You know, whoever you're seeing is crazy, which is just, you know, it's just not the truth. And even if they got it, they wouldn't know how to interpret it. They would just read it by what the lab says, you know, and I'm always saying like the lab interpretation of fasting insulin is like 30, but the normal is 5. So, you know, that's not going to get you very far either. So we created a kit where people can order it. And they get the specialized interpretation like we would give in our private practice. And really could just have the ability to order it when they want. So if you want to get your labs every 3 months, your doctor says they only need to see you once a year, then you can order it. And it's just, I just think it's so exciting.
It is. It really is. So before we really dive into what the kit is measuring, let's talk a little bit about insulin and insulin resistance. So why is a fasting insulin so important? And so many people will say, oh, I do have a fasting insulin test. They do test it. And then they'll show me their fasting blood sugar or their fasting blood glucose. And that's not the same thing. So fasting blood glucose, we can test with that finger prick meter at home. And I think that so much of the reason why diabetes is such an epidemic is because we're looking at it from such a blood sugar standpoint without looking at the insulin resistance piece. So tell us a little bit more about insulin resistance and how like it's connected to all these like chronic issues that you were talking about.
Yes. So, I mean, everything you just said is true. So insulin resistance, I have found over the course of my career, is really at the root cause of the majority of chronic disease that we experience. And I first thought, going back to my origin story, I first thought that that excess weight was at the core of chronic disease. But you have to go back further. And what I've realized is that even excess weight is a symptom of elevated insulin in the majority of cases. And so, okay, what does this mean? Everyone's like, okay, you're talking about this a lot, but explain it. So insulin is a hormone that's released by the pancreas in response to a sugar load. So you eat a carbohydrate and then your pancreas is supposed to release insulin. Now, everyone always thinks about insulin in like type 1 diabetics will need insulin. Maybe sometimes type 2 diabetics will eventually need a medication. We're not talking about the medication insulin. We're talking about the natural hormone your body secretes. And it's a good thing. We need it. We really do need it. And without it, it's problematic. And we do need to give ourselves supplementation. But what happens is that over time with a traditional Western diet and the majority of Americans, you will develop something called insulin resistance because your body stops listening to the signal of insulin. What insulin's job is to be released in response to carbohydrate. It grabs it and then shuttles it off to the brain, your muscles, and all of your organs. But over time, as your blood sugars rise, because you're eating more and more carbohydrates, you need more and more insulin. And then your body says, I'm still not listening to you. So kind of give me a little bit more insulin to grab this glucose and to shuttle it over. And that's what insulin resistance is. So over time, you develop incredibly high levels of insulin. And in that process, your pancreas starts to get tired. And over time, if it gets totally tired and burned out, you will develop insulin dependent type 2 diabetes because your body's like, oh, I'm done. I'm not making any more. I made so much for so long. You need to give me excess. But for most people before that, the high levels of insulin become very problematic. So they create unstable blood sugars. So a lot of the fatigue or hypoglycemia people will feel after they eat a carbohydrate meal will be because their insulin got so high and overshot and made the glucose go too low. And that's actually something I think you even referred to it. Most doctors like don't understand that. They're like, that cannot be, that's not a disease. We don't get it. And you'll really be told that it's in your head, but it's very, 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 very true. And it will give you brain fog. And it will also lead to incredible and rapid weight gain. Even if you calorie restrict until, as my grandmother would say, until the cows come home, you will still gain weight because insulin is a fat storage hormone and insulin is a hunger hormone. And it becomes nearly impossible, unless you get insulin under control, to control the symptom or the disease of obesity. And then we kind of all assume this, but the next steps would also be pre-diabetes development and type 2 diabetes development. And very much down the road, we see increased rates of cancer, Alzheimer, hypertension, cardiovascular disease is associated even just with a high insulin state. So that's why insulin is so, so important. Where we've gotten it wrong in traditional medicine is that we didn't used to have an ability to test insulin and we didn't really know how to interpret it. And that's what most doctors still believe to be true. And instead, what we had the ability to do was test our blood sugar with a finger prick test or in a lab and something called the hemoglobin A1C. But the problem is by the time that your finger stick is high with glucose or your hemoglobin A1C is high, you have been insulin resistant for upwards of 20 years. And so how powerful is that? Like, talk about the ability to prevent. If you can pick up the fact your body is like inching up in its insulin secretion years and years and years before, you will never have to worry about your blood sugar. You will never have to worry about the progression because you can target it early. So that is the kind of the biology behind insulin and also the biology behind why we should care, because it is incredibly powerful at preventing disease. So I love it. It's my favorite hormone. I'm obsessed.
Me too. You're speaking to the right person. I explain insulin just like you do. It's nice to hear, you know, a doctor describe it. I'm like, okay, cool. That's exactly how I describe it too. You know, just always wanting to double check myself because I didn't go to medical school, but this is what I talk about on my podcast, that insulin is necessary if we don't have it. Like if our pancreas doesn't make it, that means we're type 1 diabetic, and type 1 diabetics need insulin to live or else we can't put on weight. It's a growth hormone, so we can't grow anything. And so that's where the people can, like, they thought in the past that they were like peeing out their insides almost. That's why the excess sugar was leaving through their urine. So that's where the name of it actually even comes from. But with type 2 diabetes, I feel that it's so focused on the blood sugar because it's way easier to measure and we know more about blood sugar. And so oftentimes doctors are very focused on getting down the blood sugar by any means necessary, because that it's like, oh, we need to keep getting down the blood sugar. And oftentimes they give these insulin increasing drugs in a state of like pre-diabetes or early stage diabetes. In my untrained, humble opinion, this is worsening the disease process, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. You are okay. You're 100% correct. Yeah. Sometimes we need it.
Yeah.
And you know, if you need it and it's truly needed, especially type 1 diabetics absolutely need it to live. It's life saving.
Yep.
In type 2 diabetic management, I do find that it's often overprescribed, less and less so now, which is exciting. We can talk a little bit more about what we're doing in medicine, even on the like traditional front. It's less and less prescribed now, but yes, if you just slap insulin on someone who has high blood sugars, well, you'll get the blood sugars down, but you're going to worsen every other disease process, because the same thing that we talked about natively when your body makes insulin and it's too high and all the problems that come with it, the same thing will happen and it'd be compounded if you're giving insulin as a drug. And we need to understand that there are therapeutic nutritional ways in 95% of type 2 diabetes management where it can be reversed on its own without insulin. But to that point, there are a lot of better drugs now that can help in the management of type 2 diabetes and also will concurrently treat the disease, this is like a fancy word, but the comorbid disease of obesity. So there are a lot of medications that will bring down blood sugars and treat the process, the metabolic process of why your blood sugars are high, kind of treat the pancreas, give it a break, and also help with weight loss. And fat is incredibly metabolically active. So if you can lose a part of it, you will help the process of healing of the pancreas and improve the overall and reverse, hopefully, type 2 diabetes too. So I am seeing a trend where there's less and less insulin prescribed, which is awesome. I don't know if I'm yet seeing the trend yet of nutritional therapy for it. So thank you for your mission to get that across to you, because it is the most powerful tool we have.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Now we know why insulin is so important. You talked about I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. Ben Bickman's book, Why We Get Sick, and insulin resistance is really at the heart of every chronic disease. It was driving my PCOS. I could not make a dent in my PCOS symptoms. I couldn't get rid of it no matter what I did. They did prescribe me metformin for it. And it's like, hello, blood sugar drug. Like, it didn't even cue me in to the fact that blood sugar and insulin were kind of at the root of it. But when I found out that it was, and I started addressing my insulin resistance via addressing blood sugar stuff as well, I reversed my PCOS. It was like effortless for me because I was treating the root causes. I never got an insulin test or a fasting insulin test at that time, which I'm really disappointed about because I don't know what it was. I do know my blood sugar was 60 and I was hypoglycemic. So it's giving a little cue into the fact that I was definitely, you know, somewhere on that insulin resistance spectrum.
And I bet a doctor saw that and was like, oh my gosh, that's you're incredibly so great. Healthy. It's so great. I never see it that low. Like that should always be.
Totally. Totally. I was shaking. I remember I was on Miami Beach and I was getting back into my car and I like stepped backwards because I like almost passed out. And I was like, oh, I hate fasting for blood work. Like this is terrible. I hate how I feel. I get so dizzy. And I was smelling this Dunkin' Donuts that was next door. And I'm not like, I didn't eat that at that time or anything, but I was just like, so tempted to go in there because I felt so bad. And I had never felt that bad because typically I was a person who would snack and graze all the time to prevent myself from feeling like that. Yeah. But that extended fasting, I couldn't tolerate it. And yeah, so no one said boo to me about my blood sugar, which was 60 or 63, the three times that I got lab work in 2016, it was.
Wow.
No one said a thing, all three different doctors, no one said anything. And I was like, geez, that's so bad. And like, yeah, like you said, it's like they were maybe thinking to themselves, oh, it's under 100. So that's great. And, you know, it's not 40, where obviously I'd be in trouble.
Right. You know, to that point, if anyone's listening and they're like, oh, but if metformin is a blood sugar drug, then shouldn't you get off of it? And I would love to clarify there. And I'm glad. I don't know if your doctor's kept you on metformin for PCOS. So I bet a lot of your listeners know this, but PCOS is inherently a disease, polycystic ovary syndrome. It affects between 10 and 20% of all women. It's so common. It's underdiagnosed, but likely it's about 20% of the population. It is a disease of insulin resistance. And we see marked insulin resistance in at least 70%, more likely 85% of women with the diagnosis. And the excess insulin really is a hormonal disruptive driver, and vice versa. The kind of the whole mechanism of how we create female hormones is disrupted in women with PCOS that also increases insulin. So it's like a chicken and an egg, and you need to quiet the insulin in order to get your hormone levels calmed. Traditionally, there's been like so many things related to women in this world. There's just been a lot of misconceptions around this disease
and bad advice.
People would think, well, the number one complaint would be like irregular periods. Why are your periods irregular? It's because your hormones are irregular and your body's not ovulating naturally in most cases of women with PCOS. And so the solution to that is to put women on birth control pills. So technically you're getting regular bleeding in your cycles, but you're not doing anything to fix any of the abnormal hormones. You're really just masking it. But what we did realize along the way that yes, there's some element of blood sugar dysfunction. So metformin was trialed and understood to kind of fix some of this. Metformin is a drug that increases your own body's insulin sensitivity. So you just are more effective at using the insulin it already secretes. So people think of it as a blood sugar drug, but it's really an insulin drug. It's an insulin resistance drug. And I really like it. And I have endo friends, endocrinology friends, like we should put it in the water because it's been shown, because it does affect insulin resistance positively. It's been shown to decrease rates of all sorts of diseases, everything from cancer, dementia, cardiovascular disease, and then the more traditional space like diabetes management. But people have a misconception about it. They'll think if I'm on metformin, my blood sugars will go low. But it's not a blood sugar lowering medication. It's an insulin sensitizing medication. So I just think that's a good learning point because people will miss, they'll be like, oh, my doctor put me on it, but my blood sugars are low. But that's okay because actually your blood sugars might go up if they're low like yours were in the setting of, you know, really bad insulin resistance, because the insulin levels will kind of come down. And then a lot of your symptoms will improve with it too.
Yeah, so, that's great. Like and I have heard, yeah. And metformin out of all like, I don't know a ton of prescription drugs, but I do know that it does have like longevity benefits. There's actually been, I believe there were studies that showed it had some sort of positive modulation in the gut, and that some people are considering it like that longevity drug, and that it does have these positive beneficial effects. And luckily I didn't get any side effects with it. So it definitely helped me. And then I just got off of it when my weight got to a place where I was happy with. And I was like, I just don't want to be using a drug to get me there. And I look at pharmaceutical drugs as kind of like a bridge. It's like, we're going to help you get over the hump while you work on diet and lifestyle, or just to get you there because you just can't do it on your own. And because, you know, you've lived a life that, you know, we've all lived a life of eating, you know, not so nourishing food and being stressed. So sometimes our bodies can't get there. And so there's nothing wrong with medication if it's used as, you know, this tool, like you said, and not the only solution that we have. So yeah, that's great.
Right. It can't be used as the only, because it won't work really. I mean, it might temporarily work, but then what I've always found is that you end up just not even rebounding, but everything will progress because you haven't learned. So you have to pair the metformin with lower carbohydrate awareness if you have insulin resistance. I often will tell my patients that we do use medications. I'll say you have to fight fire with fire, because a lot of the times, a lot of the symptoms and the way that your body is right now came on with other medications or with like chronic lifestyle disturbances, or you're already metabolically dysfunctional in how your body is kind of processing food and calories and macronutrients and how it's just responding. And so it can be very, very helpful as that bridge. And I will say that I will even believe for longer term use, if it's really reversed so much of the disease. So if you can replace one medication that's in the metabolic health space and take away all your blood pressure meds, all of your, you know, traditional diabetes meds, all of your, I don't know, aches and pain meds, your Ambien, you know, you got rid of your CPAP, like, okay, we can handle with that balance, you know? And so for some of my patients, they will decide with me in conjunction, okay, I figured it out, but this is helping me maintain, and it can be really beneficial.
That's awesome. And that's where that beautiful meshing of like East meets West or old versus new or prevention meets, you know, modern treatment. We want to have the best of both worlds because we live in this modern society. So I love the idea that you have created this kit so we can test at home, right? And also we can test our fasting insulin, which is so, so important. Yeah. So coming back to the insulin conversation, why do we need to do fasting? And then tell us like what this marker can start telling us about our levels of health.
Yeah. So I always like for people to know just like your story. I mean, your story is perfect. Before anyone changes, makes a big lifestyle change, I like for them to know where they started. Mm-hmm. And so you can track your progress. You can really give yourself a pat on the back, and it really confirms that this new way of eating, whether it's lower carb, intermittent fasting, whatever you're doing is working. And if you try, you know, just do something and it's not working, you need to pivot and try something else, right? So it's nice to know where you start. And I don't know about you, but it can take months for even me as a doctor to get into my own doctor's office if I want to, you know, be a good patient and like not order my own labs. And even when you get there, they're like, no, you're good. You got your physical last year. Nothing's changed. And so created this at-home test kit. Our weight biology kit has 8 biomarkers. Our PCOS kit, I think it has 9 biomarkers. I have to double check. I need to count it. But our weight biology kit will test for kind of like the whole metabolic health picture, including fasting insulin. And so does our PCOS kit. Our PCOS kit is helping women to either if they have a diagnosis of PCOS, really understand the insulin resistance and metabolic health implications of it and how they can track it, but also it helps them get lead diagnosis too. Women with PCOS, I'm not sure about how hard it was for you to get diagnosed, but it takes the average woman 5 years and 3 doctors to get a diagnosis. And so our kit is testing for hormones and kind of screening for questions to help people get closer to a diagnosis. But the commonality between all of the kits, and we have some new ones forthcoming too, is insulin, because it really is the most important. And so we want to know how your body wakes up. You know, that story you were telling about when you tested your fasting insulin. Fasting insulin, if it's high, you will start to feel all the things when you wake up. You will be shaky, you'll be hungry, you'll be tired, because your body is not supposed to have high insulin levels when it wakes up. It's supposed to have a meal the night before. You're supposed to go be rested throughout the night. You're supposed to wake up with a normal blood sugar and a low insulin. And you should be able to eat when you want and not have like all of these symptoms. And so testing for fasting insulin gives us the most accurate picture of where your insulin resistance is. And traditional screening labs will say normal insulin is anywhere between like 1 and 30. But really, if you're insulin sensitive, your fasting level will be below 8, and then even more ideally below 5. And what we do in our kits is we'll pair your fasting insulin with your fasting glucose, and we calculate something called a HOMA-IR score, which is a mathematical scientific modeling tool that doesn't just say, here's your insulin number, but it says, this is what your insulin resistance score is. And this is how insulin resistant you are. And you can have a normal blood sugar, technically normal, and you can have a normal hemoglobin A1C, but put the glucose, the blood sugar with the insulin together, and you can be severely insulin resistant. And I don't want people to be scared of that, because again, if you listen to this podcast, it's exciting to know about it, because then you can be you can really transform the rest of your health, and you can reverse it. It's all very reversible. Everything we're looking for is reversible through diet and lifestyle. You just need to know about it. And the regular doctor's visit isn't looking for it. And so that's why it's the foundation of our kits. And we want people to be able to test frequently. We're actually sometime next year, we're going to release a kit where really you can be testing your fasting insulin glucose monthly to see your progress and make sure you're on track and, you know, use it more like you would a finger prick test, which is kind of more regular use. And it's exciting. Yeah, it's exciting to see your progress too. I love to check mine. I'm like, now I have instant access to it. I'm like, ooh, what is it today? How did I respond yesterday?
That's awesome. That is so great. Like it is, I have been, ever since I, you know, heard of a CGM, I was like, oh, we need one of these for insulin. But I feel like the technology is getting closer. I mean, this is huge to be able to test your insulin at home. I personally don't have a doctor. I haven't gotten labs done since maybe 2016. And I mean, it's been a long time. So maybe I should.
Good. You're sending in those results like ASAP.
Yeah, I'll send them in. I haven't. Maybe it was actually a little bit more recent than that, maybe like 2018. But I haven't ever gotten my fasting insulin checked, which I'd be really excited to see because now I have no signs of insulin resistance anymore. But it is something that's pretty silent, you know, and people don't really know. So if you come out, let's say you take this test and you come out as a person who has quote, normal blood sugar, normal A1C, but you have these high insulin levels, what would treatment then look like? Would you still work on a blood sugar stabilizing diet? Because I feel like people would maybe question this.
Oh, that's such a good question. The answer is 100% yes. That's the only way to come at it. There are two fundamental approaches in my mind when it comes to diet. And there are other lifestyle things that come into play. But with diet, it is timed eating. So not grazing all the time, right? We really like close our windows down. And whether that looks like extensive intermittent fasting or just not snacking, which can, you know, it's hard for most people.
Oh, yeah.
And then understanding carbohydrates. And there will be some element of carbohydrate restriction. In my opinion, there should be for everybody because we just eat way too many refined carbohydrates and processed carbohydrates in this country. Your depression and anxiety, and I'll have them write it down. And then we'll do a review like 6 weeks later. And I'll say, are you still logging your symptoms? They'll say, yeah. And I'm like, oh, do you notice that there's some have gone away? Scroll back up, you know, like let's look. And I really recommend that because people forget. And then I'll say, you need to store that in a part of your brain that keeps you motivated. I want you to write this down. You might not even have identified this as a goal when we started together. But now the fact that we took away headaches or we took away tendonitis, that's amazing. I love that because yes, it's an inflammatory process that's upregulated by elevated insulin levels. And it's such a more powerful motivator. I just realized we hadn't really talked about weight or the scale. Right. In this podcast, because it's not my motivator. It's not your motivator. Generally, it's the number one motivator.
It was for me. It was for me when I had PCOS. Yeah. Yeah. Because I had weight loss resistance. I couldn't lose weight. I was gaining weight
in
the same way that I had. And then I had this stressful experience and it felt like it broke me. And then I was overeating paleo carbs and, you know, dairy free chocolate chips and acai bowls.
But now on the practitioner front, it's not the main thing we talk about because it's not the most motivating thing. People will come, but the sustaining part of kind of managing insulin resistance, metabolic health is really how you feel overall. And yes, weight loss is generally a big benefit from it. But there's so many more things to be motivated by because there's so many more symptoms that kind of overtake our daily life that are associated with excess insulin and, you know, excess weight that comes from the excess insulin and we reverse it. But it's like people have to take note of it. And, you know, health is not just the absence of disease. It's also the absence of feeling miserable.
Right? Yes.
So if you can feel good and healthy, it's the best motivator.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not like what I lead with when I talk about blood sugar and insulin, even though it is hugely impactful because weight loss isn't enough of a motivator for 99.9% of people to get them to change. And what I feel motivates people the most is just feeling better. It's hard to market that, let me tell you, but it's like, it's hard to market feeling better because it's so vague, but people just start feeling better. And so many people can't even describe, I can't put my finger on it, but I just feel better. And they, you know, I'm like, well, are you sleeping better? And they're like, yeah, I am. I'm like, do you have more energy? They're like, I do definitely have more energy. I'm like, would you say you're like happier and more patient and less anxious? They're like, oh yeah. So it's like, yeah. Those are all
is your sex drive higher?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's like all these little things that add up. I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I didn't feel like this because we get so used to our version of normal. And we just think that, oh, you know, I'm just not a person. Like I don't have the energy to work out because I work a full-time job. And it's like, that might be true, but you shouldn't feel like you need to like, you know, head for the couch like a zombie after you return from a day of work. So, you know, most of the time, you know, there's always those exceptions, but we should have the energy to do things, to live our life. And one of the biggest things that I hear from clients who do start improving their insulin and blood sugar is that they say that they feel more like a participant in their life now. They're like, I can do things. I can plan things. And it's, I know, right? It's just like, it's the best thing is that your quality of life improves so much when you feel better, when you have the energy to do things that fill you up and you don't have these, like, I have to find a bathroom. I have to, you know, get the granola bar because my blood sugar is crashing, or I'm yelling at my spouse all the time because I'm so irritable because my blood sugar is imbalanced, or I'm not sleeping. I'm up all the time. I mean, these symptoms are legitimately interfering with people's lives. And they're, like you said, the good news. And I talk about this all the time. It's all reversible. So this is so exciting.
And it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. Yes. You know, and it's thank you for spreading your message and for your platform, and because it's so hard. There's so much noise in this space, but this really is the truth. And this really is at the core of what, unfortunately, most of us will be dealing with, you know, as we age in this country. And if we can get a handle on it now, you're just going to live a much more fruitful, happy, healthy, unsymptomatic life. Like, what else can you ask for?
Totally. And do you know the current like statistics on how many people are estimated to be somewhat insulin resistant?
Yeah. So at the very least, more than 50% of our country has insulin resistance, but those numbers are probably more on par with about 65 to 70%. So 70% of our country suffers from excess weight, and the tie between excess weight and insulin resistance is very, very high. And it's usually about 90%. So because science doesn't really look at insulin resistance, we have very skewed population numbers. We know that 30% of our population meets the criteria for prediabetes. But prediabetes is defined by blood sugar. And as we've spent the whole last hour talking about, you will have insulin resistance years and years before and all the symptoms that go with it. You know, at least 10%, more likely 20% of women have PCOS. And we know that cardiovascular complications and cardiovascular disease is in greater than 50% of the American population, right? And we know that that tie, what we're starting to really realize is that that leads to cardiovascular disease. It's not high fats. It's potentially high fats, but in combination with high sugars. And it's really insulin resistance where we're seeing this. And so it's just an epidemic. The most crazy number I can pull out right now is that 88% of Americans suffer from metabolic dysfunction, and only 12% of American adults meet all five metabolic health criteria. They've got healthy cholesterol numbers, they have healthy waist circumference, they have healthy blood sugar, and they have healthy blood pressure. And it really shouldn't be that hard to have those healthy metrics, but it is, unfortunately. And we're treating them with pills and we're missing the diagnoses. Our kits actually do screen for metabolic health as a whole and looking for metabolic syndrome, because again, I think it's not a devastating diagnosis. I think it's an empowering one. Know that you have it and say, my doctor never talked to me about HDL being too low or my triglycerides being too high. What does this mean? Let's start here, because it's all reversible. And again, like, you find it and you can reverse it. You need to know you have it and to know what to do anything about it. So it's dramatic. It's a big problem. So if you find that you have something that, you know, we've talked about today, don't feel alone. Really, you're one of many, 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 the majority. But now, because you've listened to this podcast, you're actually one of the few who has the tools because a lot of people don't know about them. That's why we have this epidemic.
So. Yes, absolutely.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. And when you brought up the LDL and triglycerides, it reminded me that you do test for these cholesterol numbers in the kit. So can we talk a little bit more just quickly about the markers in the kit?
So in our kits, we test in every kit we have right now, we test for hemoglobin A1C, fasting insulin, fasting blood sugar, and those are our blood sugar ones. And then we do a lot of calculations beyond that. And then on the cholesterol front, we will look at LDL, which traditionally is the only cholesterol marker that gets any attention in medicine, but we actually care more about your HDL, which is your good cholesterol, and we want that number to be higher, and your triglycerides. So triglycerides are a cholesterol marker that's often totally ignored in the panel. And if it's high, your doctor will be like, oh, you must have eaten something without realizing it. But really what it means is that you have an excess of energy that's generally in the form of carbohydrates and your liver is being overwhelmed in the packaging of it. And it is a surefire sign that you have insulin resistance. And so we really look for that. And then depending on the kit, we're testing for other things. In our PCOS kit, we're looking at female hormones to help women really get a better understanding of where their hormone health is and whether they have active PCOS or they kind of put things into remission or if they don't even have it at all, because like I said, we're leading people to a diagnosis. Then we're testing for other elements like B12 and your thyroid, because that can come into play with metabolic health too, and inflammation markers like HSCRP. So it kind of just depends on what you're ordering.
Oh, but I'm so excited.
we're rolling out new things. So we just want you to have a complete picture.
Love it. I'm so excited to start testing myself. Can you tell everyone where they can get these kits? And I will have a promo code for you with the kits, so you can get a little discount on them, because they are going to really answer so many questions for you. Because like you said, so many doctors refuse to give you a lab test, which is so crazy.
My husband's earbuds.
They came out.
I'm really sorry. Can you hear me? My husband.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Call just like interrupted my earbuds. They just took over. I don't know what happened.
That's okay.
He started his work call. Oh my gosh.
It's okay. I can hear you.
So I don't know if this makes sense to the podcast, but I don't even know where we ended, but I was like, I lost you and now I hear his work call.
Oh, that's okay. So I was just saying, where can everyone find these kits?
Thank you. So you can find us at getsowell.com. And we actually have a new website relaunch happening this evening. So by the time this podcast, it will be brand new. We'll have a lot more education on our blogs and it'll be easier to navigate. And you can find us on Instagram at getsowell2 or on my personal Instagram at AlexandraSoaMD. And I'm always happy to answer questions and give us your feedback. We really want to hear what you want. And we're trying to expand more kits. We're thinking about doing a little thyroid panel kit that's even in more depth and some other testing options, because we want to make it easy for you to know your labs, and it shouldn't be so hard and it shouldn't be so complicated, and you shouldn't have to beg, borrow, and steal to get some of these lab tests. So
totally. So getsowell.com. My code is Danny10 to get 10% off. And I will definitely link to that in the show notes. And I'm really excited to be able to share this with my audience. I wanted to get you on the podcast as soon as I found out about it, because I'm like, people need to know about this. I've been waiting for this product. I told you when I met you, I've been literally just praying and hoping and waiting for something like this to come out. So I'm so glad that you can make it happen.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, it's thrilling for us to be able to refer to people like you to help enact these lifestyle changes, because, you know, we're helping people dig deep into their biology, but then it's the first step, and we want you to keep coming back and make sure you've maintained it. And don't be like Danny, check your labs more often than every 4 years.
I'm going to now that I have access to this. So I'm really excited.
Awesome. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Really thanks so much for coming on. It was so great to have you. And I feel like we're so aligned with our missions, and we're just, it's so great that we have these different outlets to help people get to where they need to be. So it's a beautiful blending of two minds. So thanks so much for being here and sharing with us.
Thank you, Mary.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode with Dr. Alexandra Soa. Remember, you can get your fasting insulin tested, plus all those other great biomarkers. You can look at your cholesterol, your fasting glucose. You can get your HOMA-IR score tested by getting the Get So Well Weight and Biology Kit at GetSoWell.com. And you can use the code DANI10, that's D-A-N-I-10, to get 10% off your order. Again, for another interview next week. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.